And now the game where we ask people who have been good at one thing their whole lives to finally try something else. Rufus Wainwright has been called the greatest songwriter on the planet, and he was called that by Elton John, who knows a little something about songwriting himself. Rufus's new live CD and DVD is called Milwaukee At Last. It's in stores now. We're very excited to have him here. Rufus Wainwright, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Now, Rufus, I've been a fan of yours since your first record came out, like, I guess it was like 1999, 98, 99. And you seemed ridiculously young then, but it turns out you had actually started your performing career at an even younger age, 12, 14?
Yeah, no, the first gig I had was in a Canadian movie called Tommy Tricker and the Stamp Collector. And I was a rock star in a mall, kind of a gay child, Tiffany.
There you are.
I've been doing this for more than 20 years now. I still look young.
That's important. It's all important how you look. Let's go back into your background. You, of course, are famously from a musical family. Your father, Loudon Wainwright III. Your mother, Kate McGarrigle. Your aunt, Anna McGarrigle. Was it inevitable that you become a musician? Did you ever want to rebel and become an actuary or something?
Well, I wanted to be a fireman only because, I don't know, I'd have a chance getting a date or something. But no, I was pretty entranced by music at a young age, and it worked for me.
But you were different in style, I think we can say. Your father, the traditional singer-songwriter, confessional guitar player standing there. Your mother, of course, were famous for their thing. But you've always had a much more operatic style.
Definitely. My getting into opera was a type of rebellion, against the banjo mania that inhabited my genetic back, entourage. So I rebelled with fat ladies singing.
Really?
It was a good way to get away from the yodeling.
I understand.
Oh, please. Yodeling.
And the song that you sang in that movie, I actually watched it on YouTube. You wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote it. I wrote it.
So you wrote and performed a song that was nominated for a major award at the age of 12, 14?
Yeah, well, I was about 13, yeah.
My gosh. I can't imagine what a song that I might have come up with at the age of 12.
Well, the music business is pretty tough, and my mom realized that I was going to be in it at a young age, so, she got me started fast because, she wanted to retire on something. Basically.
I understand. Get him going. So you've done so much. You're many records and your concerts. Now you've written an opera. What left is there for you to conquer? What other worlds are there?
Well, now I've pared it down a bit for my next project, which is going to be just a solo piano voice record, just me at the piano. And I'm in the studio, actually, at this moment recording it. So It's the sort of sorbet in the the 10-course meal that is my career. So it's a chance to kind of wipe off your mouth and get ready for the next,
Is it tough for you not to, for what I imagine is the first time, be lush? Because your music has always been so lush and all kinds of things happening.
Well, unfortunately, that would be the case if I was playing the guitar or, ukulele or something, but the piano is a pretty, there's some pretty lush piano music out there, so I've managed to, flower it up enough.
You seem like a pretty large personality to me, having followed you and listened to your music and read about it. There's a story, for example, that you commissioned a pair of custom-made lederhosen to perform in.
Yes.
Let me pause to ask why.
Well, basically, lederhosen, the thing that's great about lederhosen is that, you look 20 years younger where you wear them. So now...
Wait a minute. So you're saying that lederhosen are sort of your Botox? Is that what you're telling me?
Kind of, basically. My deer-skinned Botox. And so they make you look young, and also, you know, I've got the butt for it.
Yeah, well, there you are.
That's what all of those sort of nationalistic costumes are. They're basically old-fashioned Botox to make you
really
look like a kid
make you
when
look
you're old.
Yes, and you, where did you get the Lederhosen, Rufus Wainwright?
I had it made in Austria.
Of course, you did.
In a town called Salensee, which is actually the same town where the Von Trapp family was from originally. So I presumably have the same Lederhosen that the Von Trapp family had.
Perhaps the lonely goatherd himself wore this brand of Lederhosen. I keep coming back to this only because I have children myself, and I'm so amazed at your precocity. When you were a kid, did you do what kids do and put on shows for your family?
Well, speaking of you mentioned Godot earlier.
Yeah.
One of the stories of my childhood is that I of course, like all children, wanted to be in a play at all times.
Yes.
And perform. And I would nag my mother constantly, Mom, I want to be in a play, I want to be in a play, I want to be in a play, let's do a play. And finally one day she turned to me and said, okay, we're going to do a play now. It's called Waiting for Godot. Now you're Godot. Go into the other room. And I would turn around and be like, am I on yet? Am I on yet? No.
No, no.
No, not yet.
No. Well, Rufus Wainwright, we are so delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
They had style, they had rhythm, they had perfect teeth.
Now, you come from a musical family, as we've discussed, but did you ever get a Saturday morning cartoon based on your adventures? I think not. The Osmonds did, so we're going to ask you three questions about the Osmond family.
Okay.
I'm sure... deep rivals of the McGarrigle Wainwright
clan. I don't know what they would have done with a little gay Lederhosen.
I don't know.
Wearing opera queen.
No, let me tell you, they would have rocked the Lederhosen, okay? They were good-looking people.
That was the album that was never released.
All right. We're going to ask you three questions about the Osmonds. Get two right, you'll win our prize from one of our listeners, Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Yes.
All right. Carl, who is Rufus Wainwright playing for?
Rufus is playing for Monty Messix of Los Angeles, California.
Here's your first question, Rufus. The Osmonds' first album in 1963 was called, simply and truthfully, Songs We Sang on the Andy Williams Show. That's what it was. Then in 1964, they decided they wanted to put out a new album with a new sound. What was that album called? A, Psycha Osmond Delia. B, The Osmonds After Dark. Or C, the new sound of the Osmond brothers singing more songs they sang on the Andy Williams Show.
Oh, God. They can be pretty quirky, those folks. And I'm gonna go with the psychedelic one.
You're going to go
with
the Psycha Osmond
Delia? Yeah, I think they could have actually done that because they're fun.
They are fun. But they're not imaginative. It was called the new sound of the Osmond brothers singing more songs they sang on the Andy Williams Show.
Okay. Well, they did sing a lot of songs on the Andy Williams Show. You know.
It was a literal time, Rufus. What can I tell you? All right. You still have two more chances. We're going to do good here. Now, Donny Osmond, as you know, has had a pretty good career, given that he's an ex-child star. But he's had some rough moments. What might have been the lowest point of his post-Osmond brothers, Donny and Marie career? Was it A, a staged boxing match between Osmond and fellow ex-child musician Donny Bonaducci from the Partridge Family? B, a stint doing advertising for Fixident, the dental adhesive, with the tagline, shh, it's my secret? Or C, playing himself at the age of 10 in a Brantford, Missouri musical play, The Story of the Osmonds?
Oh, my God. I would go with B, only because that would be my idea of hell.
So you think that Donny Osmond would come out and admit that he had dentures?
Is that what that is?
Yeah, fix it in.
You're giving me a second chance here. Yeah, let's go with A.
You're going to go with A, a stage boxing match? You're right.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good. The boxing match took place in Chicago in 1994, and Danny Bonaducci won.
Wow.
All right, this is great. You have one more chance. Get this, you get it all. Here we go. Last question. Donny Osmond always suffered from his white bread image, and he says that at one time his manager came up with an elaborate and very serious plan to improve his street rep. What was it? A, he and Eartha Kitt would appear to be an item. B, he'd fly to India to study with the Beatles' old Maharishi. Or C, he'd be busted for carrying drugs at an airport.
Well, we know it's not C.
Remember, this was a plan. They were going to, you know, fake this.
Oh, they were going to fake it.
Yeah.
Okay, then it is C.
You're right, it is C. He was talking about his 20s, which was after Donnie and Marie, and he's talked about how awful it was, and he says, quote, my publicist at the time put together a whole plan to get me busted at an airport.
Really?
Where in customs they'd find drugs in my bag.
They had the whole... so naive.
Really? Yes.
I thought you really had to get busted for drugs. That's why I did it.
Really? You did it for your career. It's worked out, you know. Carl, how did Rufus Wainwright do in our quiz?
Rufus had 2 correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Monty Messick.
How wonderful, Rufus. There you go. Rufus Wainwright's live CD and DVD is called Milwaukee at Last. It's out now. His opera Prima Donna premiered at the Manchester International Festival in July. It opens in London in April, and he is one of my very favorite musicians. Rufus Wainwright, thank you so much for joining us on WaitWait.com.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
California, California, you're such a wonder that I think I'll stay. Big-time rollers, part-time models, so much to plunder that I think I'll sleep instead.